Okay, if I just start with you, Bob, then.
Tell me what your name is and where you come from, how long you've been there.
I'm Bob. I'm an Aberdonian. My family are from Fitty, but I brought up my kids in Torry. And I've come back to live in Torry, and I've been living in Torry for the past 20 years.
I'm Margaret. I've lived in Torry all my life.
I'm Billy. I was born in Fitty.
Well, can I ask you to sit forward a tiny bit further if you can, because you're just probably the furthest.
Right. My name's Billy. I was born in Fitty, but moved to Torry when I was 9, and I've been here since.
Can you explain where Fitty is in relation to Torry?
Across the water.
And is it like similar to Torry or not?
Oh, I would think so. It was associated with fish and, well, I think so, is it? Fitty is just the same as Torry.
Sheila. I was born and brought up in Torry and have never been out of Torry.
Can you describe what Torry's like to somebody, say, it's living in England, in London?
Torry used to be quite a small fishing village. And with the increase in the fishing industry, Torry grew with it. Again, in the late 60s, 70s, early 70s, then oil came into it and it grew again. We've now got a population roughly in the 12,000 mark.
And are you quite close as a community in Torry, or do you feel yourself kind of distinct from Aberdeen?
Well, I'll tell you how close a community Torry is. When I came back to Torry 20 years ago, I met this old lady, and I said, how are you? Fine. And I said, where are you going today? I'm going into Toon. And I said, up to Aberdeen. Aberdeen? I've never been in Aberdeen. She'd never crossed the bridge, the Victoria Bridge, across the river to go into the city of Aberdeen.
That's right.
She'd never done it. She'd never been Aberdeen in her life. And this was a lassie, an old wifey, over 80.
Wow.
She'd never been in the city of Aberdeen.
That's amazing, isn't it? Yeah, think of it.
It's not really, because when we were brought up in Torry, you got everything you wanted in Torry. We never, if you went into the town, it was a rare occasion. But we cried the town then. Everything was supplied within Torry at one time. That has changed nowadays. Mm-hmm.
You went for your dividend, copy divvy.
That was one of the times.
Aye, you went into town and you got your copy divvy. And I got the clays for the bairns going to school, the copy divvy.
Speaking of clays, shall we start there then? What words would you use for clothes?
Clays.
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 Why? Say clays. Aye, clays.
And any specific items, like some trousers?
Bricks.
Bricks.
Bricks and trousers. Bricks and trousers.
Nobody would use anything else apart from that.
No.
And then a child's soft shoes worn for PE.
Jimmies.
Jimmies. Hey, Jimmies. I used to love my Jimmies. See these things that we are now, they're not Jimmies, but they're not as good as Jimmies.
I did read in the younger generation's documents that I gave you just now, it's still Jimmy's, which I'm glad to hear that. It's still Jimmy's, isn't it?
And what about other items of clothing? Do you have any unusual words for, I would call this a sack and a chippy?
No, it's just a blouse.
Yeah. Uh-huh. No, mine is a sark and a fishing, like, again, coming for the fishing. Aye, but a ginseng would have been a sark.
It would have been a sark.
Be a sark. A cirque. A shirt was a cirque. And underneath that, you wore combis and a simmet. A simmet's a singlet.
Just another name for a vest, a singlet was. Mm-hmm.
Anything else on clays?
Or?
No.
Well, your drawers was your knickers. Well, knickers, aye. Hems. What else do you wear? Oh, you wore...
Ganshi.
Aye, a ganshi, but that's a Shetland word, that.
Ganshi.
Ganshi.
Is that a word you'd use?
It's been used, yes.
Again, it was used by
your parents, because again they come after fishers and you do your Ganges.
Where's your Ganges? You have to put a Ganges on the day. You know.
Never heard it until I went to the Shetlands with Henry. Never heard it. No. But it was Ganges.
Wasn't a G, wasn't a Ganges.
It was a Ganges.
That's right.
I think it's outside the fishing trade. I think it's come down through the aye.
Jumpers that he used to wear, and the fishermen used to wear them, they put on their Ganges.
So it was a particular kind of jumper, it wasn't just any
old
jumper.
Mostly they were hand knit. Again, my mother used to hand knit, and they were made with it, they had wool. Mm. It was wool that had the oil in it to keep the rain and that out before the thermals, fleeces, and all the rest of it.
How would you call that?
That was Ganges that we could, but it was like Ganges, near G. Ab wool, it was cried. It was like an off white, but you could actually feel the oil when you were knitting, mate, your hands were oily. There was no oil. It was like an oil that was on at the time you were knitting. Mm-hmm. And they were thick. But he liked the iron, but we had oil through it as well.
What did he look like?
Quite thick.
Chunky.
And colours or patterns?
Just a creamy colour, but it was green. Was it grey and black, or was it navy and white? But they had a mottled kind of colour, because my grandfather had a trawler. And that was what my granny used to knit to him.
Either plain or be a rope pattern. A rope pattern was awfully popular on that day. And used to do a lot of rope all the way through it. Mother did a lot now.
And what about going on to what you call folk in your family? We start with mother, that's quite a good one.
Mm-hmm. I've just got ma.
Just your ma.
Ma.
So you'd say that to her face, would you? Like ma, kind of.
Oh, all right.
First, my ma.
Ma, you may do a piece. You know.
Why would you say that?
Well, you're playing out in the backyard, and your ma is up on the second floor, and you're hungry. So you say, ma, throw me do a jammy piece. And she'd spread a piece of bread and jam, nay butter. You didn't get both. And she'd just open a window and throw it down, and you caught it. Sometimes it fell on the ground, and you just wiped it off, and you just chunk, and that was it. So, ma, throw me down a jammy piece.
And was that like tenement living?
Yes, that was tenement living.
Yeah. You explained to fucking London that's never seen a tenement what that is.
Well, a tenement was at least 3 stories high, sometimes 4 stories high. And no one ever locked a door. And people used to come and go all the time. They'd walk into your house at any time, day or night. And you just said, hi, hi, for you, Dean, and then you can. And that was it. It was wonderful community living, which is now gone. I wish we could go back to the old days where we were all so close. And we called all the wifeys by their last name. I had Howie, that was Mrs. Howie, Strachan, Mrs. Strachan, Brown, Mrs. Brown, and you just called them by their last name, and nobody objected to that. You know, it was a wonderful life.
And how long ago was this?
This was in 1930s. I'm all new. It's in the 1930s, and it was a wonderful life. And we all played in his backyard. My sisters used to tap dance, and they used to make dresses out of crepe paper and things like this. And we'd concerts and just things. And we'd all outside lobbies, you know. There was no bathrooms, nothing. If we wanted a wash, we had to wash in a sink. And it was an iron sink, not enamel. Iron sink, you know, and we'd a big zinc bath. And Da used to sit in a bath, and we'd take him out to the nether room while he got his back rubbed and nothing, and then he used to stand up. And then he'd say, that water's still hot, so one of you get in that bath. So one of us had to strip off and get into the bath. You know, that was life in those days. It was such a wonderful time.
So you all took turns. And do you mind life being like that as well?
Oh, aye.
Mm-hmm.
I bed in a tenement till me long ago. And we had four tenants shared one toilet. Mm-hmm. And you had to go into there were 16 tenants
all together between two houses, and you all shared the same washhouse. Mm-hmm. And you had anybody that had men going out to work and the littlings in the house, they'd get in the washhouse with half a dozen lighted candles and do their washing at 4 o'clock in the morning and be out of the washhouse before your hubby get Lee's work. That was the way I started off married life. And then you had to keep the windows in the landing open. There was a lot of mice in the tenements. And you had to keep the windows in the landings open for the cats going out and in, because you had to keep a cat. Or you got a lot of mice when you opened the door, so everybody had a cat.
Yep.
Mm.
Mara, do you mind that similar lifestyle?
I stayed in a tenement when I was first married, yes. And it was... Everybody helped one another. All helped one another, and you know, when you wash house, they kept the wash house fire on for the next one going in, and just it was great. Just comrades, you just helped.
It was a wonderful life. The green, you know, you did your washing. My ma used to wash on a Monday, and we hated Mondays because all we got for our lunch or dinner, as we used to cut, was a plate of rice, because Ma was in the washhouse, and there was a big boiler going, and she was sweating, and she'd on a rubber apron, and oh my God. And if it was raining, the washing has to be taken into the kitchen, which was our living room, and hung up in front of the coal fire, and used to smell the washing drying.
Oh, God. Distinctive smell, my
thought. Carbolic had a smell that nothing else is like, I don't think.
What about words for granny?
Oh, granny.
Just granny.
Just granny. Or grandma. But as posher words now, you see, they get nanny and forever. I'm just granny.
Granny,
yes. Oh, so am I. I'm just granny.
And is that different to Aberdeen, is it?
No. Granny is a grandma. In Aberdeen, it's granny.
Mind you, I get called grandpa these days, and I'm saying,
God almighty. It used to be granda, but now I'm called grandpa. And I said, who's this they're talking about?
And what about male partner?
A male partner?
No.
If you weren't married in that days, they were cried your bidey in. It doesn't say your husband, it says a male partner.
Oh.
A male partner in that days was just your bidey in.
Well, I was never lucky to get one of them,
so it was just my man.
You were sleeping with a brush. One of the two.
Or a brush.
A brush?
The brush.
I did give her that expression, comfy, but that was said quite a lot. You're sleeping with a brush. Mm-hmm. It meant you weren't married, you'd a bidey in. Sleeping with a brush.
It's a gypsy thing. Gypsy marriages, you to jump over the brush. So it's from a gypsy thing.
So they hadn't a hag tore it, they had just lain over it.
on this thing of husbands and things, my mother never, ever called my father by his name. It was always him. Him. He says... Him. I said, pass is that him and he. I never once heard my mother call my father by his name.
Why was that?
It was just a habit. It was a fitty thing they did. The fitty folk didn't use the names like that.
Was it superstitious, do you think? A bad luck?
I just really don't know. I've never understood it. But I never, ever heard my father called by his name by my mother.
Nobody more superstitious than my mother, Fisher people, as I say, we were broke. But my mother cried, my father, da, in front of us. He didn't get cried Alec, which was his proper name. It was Ida. So I think it took us quite some time to realise my father had a first name because it was Ida and Ma. Mm-hmm. They cried one another. In front of us, it was
Ma used to say, your da says, you know, but never his name, never, ever.
Before I ever heard the first names mentioned.
My ma, I cried my da, Bobby.
Yeah.
And my granny cried my granddad Bell.
Yeah, in front of us.
Oh, so ma and dad, they spoke to each other on that terms.
If my mother had cried my father him, she would have landed up with a black eye. She would have. He'd have skilled her run a log. He would have done it.
I'm sure I mind Fox saying at home that they never referred to Fisher Fox as the proper name, or him it was a war, this and that. They never used the proper name for...
There was a lot of superstitions and a lot of nicknames comes through the fishing trade. Mm-hmm. You would either get Joni's joke, or somebody or other. It was never a proper name. No.
If you said to somebody, "Fa's he? Who is he?" They'd say, "That's oor tootsies, meanies, jokes, loons, quine."
Aye.
And you had to know the whole history of the family,
family.
In order to find out who you were talking to. You know, oor tootsies, moonies, jocks, loons, quine, Hela, Hela's loon's cousin. You say, oh my God. You know, it was...
Yeah, good, isn't it?
Well, we are referred to women in for I bed in Fitty. So I was Minnie's, Bessie's, Billy.
That's right. Mm. Yeah.
Okay. Minnie was my granny, Bessie was my ma, and I was Billy. So it was Minnie's, Bessie's, Billy.
I should say that again because the bell was right over the top.
Oh, well, I was Minnie's, Bessie's, Billy.
Gosh,
Minnie was my grandma, Bessie was my mom, and Billy was me. So I was Minnie's, Bessie's, Billy.
And I was Annie's, Annie's, Robert.
And how far back did they go? When did that stop? Does it still stop?
I reckon.
Oh, I don't know.
I reckon. I think it just stopped.
I remember back in the early 40s, my granda tell me who someone was, and he spoke 16 names. I counted them, 16 names, to tell me who someone was. He went that far back. So... I don't know, but you don't hear it now. It doesn't happen anymore.
I think it's when Fitty and Tory got bigger.
Yeah.
Folk were flitting out of Fitty into Tory. Aye, and it would go. And I think it was then, when you brak awa, you see, everybody was close-knit. You can, like, you're into bed round the corner. Your sister would have bed across the road. Mm. Your uncle bed the other side. But for that stopped. Like... My auntie bed next door and her daughter bed next door. My great-granny bed across the road. My ma bed at the other side of the road. And we were all sort of in a group. Well, when you break up, I think that stops. You know, I think so.
I think when the housing estates were built, like Maastricht, King Course, a lot of people, in order to get a house, had to move out of Tory. And I think that started the break up of this... The families biding in the one street. I mean, at one time, I had three sisters... abiding in sublets in the same street as my mother bed. I mean, the washing was starting up my mother, even though there's kiddies and I think it was my mother's house, because your sublet was only one bedroom that you got.
Right.
And everything was still brought to my mother's house, and it was still a focal point. But when Maastricht, who had one sister moved from Maastricht, was just two streets at that time, and I didn't get to Concourse. And I think that was the start of the break up. The closest.
The start was in 1938 when they built Middlefield. Mm-hmm. We moved to Middlefield in 1938, and families from all over Aberdeen arrived in Middlefield, and it was just a change of life. But we, at that time, we carried on, because we were in tenements, we carried on the tenement tradition of open doors, and everybody visited everybody. It's all changed now. We've got security every place. But it was still a great thing. But things changed. The way of speaking changed, because with people from different areas, we had to learn what they meant. Because coming from where we came from, we had our own special language. then we had to learn somebody else's language. It was quite incredible how you changed.
Did Maastricht and all these other areas open up in Concord in the 1930s,
1940s? No. Oh, no, Concord was later than that. Later. That was when my sisters were... No, you're speaking about the 50s, 60s. When, and again, they had a different type. They had got the tenements that were within Tory. It was mere bungalows or a masonette, maybe one and one. Or your own door, your own garden, which was unheard of in Tory. It's mostly tenements in, within Tory. And I think that type of culture broke it up. You didn't ken your next door neighbour exactly the same as you would have in a tenement. Tenement had a closeness that nothing else had about it.
That's the thing that always fascinated me, was where you were. I remember...
It's just rustling everybody.
Yeah. I remember coming home one day and I was having a cup of tea and there was no sugar. Ma says, sorry, there's no sugar. I haven't had time to go to the shoppy. I says, well, go next door to Mrs. Merson and ask her for a sup of sugar. I can't do that. And I says, why not? We've only been here 10 years. You know, we weren't...
We didn't fit in.
Didn't, hadn't fitted in yet. No. 10 years, we still hadn't fitted in.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you if it did it with us, though. My mother flitted to Tory in 1939, and it was a fortnight before war was declared. Now, because there was a war on, everybody was close. Everybody was close. You didn't hear that. Because everybody sort of had to fit in, because you shared somebody's lobby when the siren went off. And everybody shared. You can, I mean, there wasn't a lot of men going about, because they were all war to war. So I think the war in 1939 did make incomers feel more welcome. You can, because there was that off a closeness during the war, wasn't there?
Oh, yes.
I think so, aye.
Mm-hmm. Just to go back to the diagram again, let's have a think at female partner.
I still have Bridie and doing for that as well, because anybody that wasn't a Mary in that day and age to me was I cried their Bridie in.
And have attitudes to that changed now?
Oh, yeah.
Well,
he's got a partner now.
I hate that word partner. You've either got a wife or a husband or a bidean, as far as I'm concerned. Partner's an awful word.
It covers a multitude of sins, a partner. It can be any sex, any gender, or whatever.
But
speaking of words, we call, in Aberdeen, we call boys loons. We call girls quines. Now, many years ago, my cousin came up from West Lothian, and he was older than me and bigger than me, and we're walking up the road, and this lad turned and said to me, "Hi, loony, who you doing?" And my cousin went up and smacked him right in the nose. "Dinner, don't you call my cousin a loony." He thought he meant lunatic. He was just being very friendly.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So he got a bloodied nose for being friendly.
It was the same. I had a brother that married a Cockney lass. She was only 16 year old at that time. He was doing his national service doing in Chatham and Kent. And of course, they come up here for the marriage. Now, their father, he thought nothing. We were all cows. Which was in Tory quite a derogative name to get. It was equivalent to a prostitute in that day in Tory. If somebody cried you a cow, you were a prostitute. But that was part of his language.
When was that?
Oh, well, they're celebrating their golden wedding next year. Actually, I'm just back from visiting them in Australia. And they're going to go to New Zealand for their golden wedding. So that would be 50 years ago. And as I say, but if we were all cows.
Did he mean that in a stupid cow?
No. Yeah, that is their language. That's a Cockney phrase for a woman.
So they'd say, quine.
We would say quines, and they would say, look, a bunch of cows. but it was never derogatory. But in our language, it was, which he didn't realise.
It was cowbug.
Oh, she's nothing but a cowbug.
Mm-hmm. Which was just another name for a prostitute, really. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No, got into trouble for saying that.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Every crime said that.
What about your friend? What do you call them? Margaret, you got a thought on that?
That would be your friend. Mm-hmm. That's what you call your friend, your friend. Mm-hmm. Good friends.
So no D on the end there?
No, friend. Just your friend. You had a lot of friends.
And what about relatives? Would you call them friends or neighbours or anything?
No, just cousins or whatever they were, uncles
your
or aunties, what is it,
your
auntie.
Uncles or, The only thing that we had, I think, different, again, coming through the Fisher side, it was our grandfathers were crying daddies. I believe the equivalent come off of the dominies, the head of the school, and daddies a definition of the head of the family. And it was the grandfather that used to get cried. Was I daddy? So my father was a daddy for years once he stopped. But I think it comes off of the Fisher equivalent. Further up north, your headmasters are cried dominies. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a definition of a daddy, meaning a head of something. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people had never heard it before, but it was I daddies with us.
I always noticed that dominie was not a word used in Aberdeen for a head teacher. We always called him heady, the heady. Whether it be man or woman, it was a heady as a head teacher. But outside Aberdeen, it was always the dominie. So that word I'd never heard of before.
Daddy comes off of that some way. Mm-hmm. But as I say, my mother and father moved to her in 24. Was it? I've still got their marriage certificate, actually. And that had just been part of their culture. Mm-hmm. Was the head of the family, was a daddy. And you know, but there was.
Did they come for Aberdeen, Sheila, or
no,
did?
No, Bucky and Pernocchi.
I'm
saying it's they come doing, but still back in 1924, you may or less say they were born into Tory. They put it that way, doing in Ferry Road.
But they came their habit, their Bucky habit.
So that would be a rural kind of an idea that they come and kind of died. He shot them for Dominie, but they used it for the grandfather.
I think just the head of the family. Because the dominie is the head of the school. Mm-hmm. And I think, that's my thinking, I've never actually checked it out, to be honest. I just think it's the head of the family. Mm-hmm. It was a daddy.
Probably.
Can I ask you three about a word? Seas.
Pardon?
Seas.
Seas.
Seas a bit your piece.
Oh, geese.
Geese.
No, why is it seas and not geese?
Okay.
Piece a bit your piece.
Yes, seize a bit your piece. Give me a bit of your piece.
Geese a bit.
Geese is used as well.
Geese.
But seize a bit.
Seize. And I've never understood it. Where does it come from? Yeah. Seize.
Oh no, I've heard of it. We used to say it. See a bit your piece. See a bit your piece.
Have you used it anywhere else or just for a piece?
No.
Seize that. Seize whatever object you want. Seize that. Seize that.
But it's not like seize.
No.
It means give.
Give.
But where the word comes from, I don't know. I've never known. And neither do I know where Contarmashes comes from. Contern mashes? I'll give you a conversation, right. You're sitting in a bar. Here's this gape coming in. What do you mean, gape? He's nae half as gapit as you. What do you mean, am I gapit? Ah, you're nae only gapit, you're contern mashes. Ah, fam, I got to see wee a man eight can of row. That's a conversation in a pub.
What does that mean?
A gape is a fool. Somebody who's gaped is really foolish. Contarmashes means you're stubborn or
awkward.
And far we're going to see with your manny at kind of row means you're stupid. You don't know how to row a boat. Simple.
But you use that for a general expression, meaning somebody.
Yes.
Not just if you needed them to go and see with you.
No. Somebody is stupid.
What was that word?
Countermashes.
Countermashes.
quantum massive. Means against, quantum doesn't massive. It? Mm-hmm. Just yeah, an awkward, awkward.
When you counter anybody, you're disagreeing with them. Mm-hmm. So
quantum
maybe quantum
poker. Poker, I disagreeing with you. Eh, quantum mashes.
So.
Great, perfect. let's think now, what else? We've got a grandfather, we've been through that. Any other words for
granddad?
No.
Mm.
No.
Just do her hygiene, and as I say, I think that comes for the north, really.
I never heard that.
Of course, maybe being for Bucky, or it's a word that's common to them.
That's what I'm saying. I think it must come from the north.
Must be.
Because, I mean, it wasn't just my father, it was my uncles, them that were grandfathers, and their families. They were,
sorry, can I just ask you to stop a second? I've got to change my batteries.
Or were Gaelic, did you
Gaelic.
Say?
Gaelic.
Gaelic.
What about the name for somebody you kind of mind the name of?
Or thingamabob.
Thing me.
Aye, you mind? It was your own wifey that we met at and you would gang.
Back.
Uh-huh. Or that manny. Remember? We met him. Aye. Mine, he was a right beast or something like that. Or we would give a description if I were to say they're beautiful or they're a pest. Or...
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Anybody, anything else, Margaret? Got any other
no, that's just about it for that, I think.
The other word for somebody you've forgotten is you can. You can.
You can find.
You can.
What I mean.
You just keep saying, you can.
I don't get it. Just a thing but I is...
What do you cry her?
Cry?
What do you cry her?
Thingamabob, I was just... Thingamabob, her with the big nose, or her with the droopy eyes, or you try and describe it.
Mm-hmm. What about a baby?
A bairnie.
A
bairnie.
In Fitty, we were tended to add E's to Arthur, like bairnie. You might say just bairn, but we would say bairnie, because Fitty folk add a lot of ease.
Well, Tory did that, I know, if you remember, buses.
Ease were added on to Tory as well.
The Tory language is they add IE onto everything. When my daughter was born, we were looking for a name, and I said, we've got to have a name with IE on it because they always add IE. So we called her Kerry. I went up to the register her birth, and the registrar said, and the child's name is what? And I said, Kerry. He said, Kerry? Really? And I said, yes. He said, that would be K-E-R-R-Y. And I said, no, she's from Torrey, and her name will be Kerry with an IE. He picked up his pen and he threw it right across the room and said, that is the most ridiculous name I've ever heard of in my life. When this girl becomes an adult, she will change her name. Now they don't call her Kerry. Everybody in Torrey calls her Kerr. It's a one way they don't, you know, they haven't used the IE. But in Torrey, the IE is put onto everything. Loony, quiny, bussy, shoppy. Bernie, Doggie, it just
Manny's
wife. It just goes on and on and on. You add IE to everything.
Doggies.
That's interesting. What about a kit of tools?
I couldn't think, honestly, of a name that we could have given up. I just can't
just,
think.
You just put down his tools, do you? Because my brother was a joiner and he just cried his tools, his work tools.
My dad used to cut the box. Why and get the box? And you knew he wanted his tools, you know, just the box. And that was it.
I mean, even if we kind of think of a word for it, that's significant in itself because it shows that there's no local words for it.
I couldn't think of any of that. Just a toolbox and that would have been it.
That's fine. What about a young person, cheap, tiny clothes and jewellery? Did I not hear somebody discussing
words
before?
Well, I just said tart, which I still think it would be the day.
It would be slapper, no. but I didn't care.
No, we just say, see her or see him. Mm-hmm. That was it. You know? That's so no word. No.
Oh, you look like it, you can, if it's only your own, you're speaking, telling, you're saying, no, you can't wear that. You look like a shore walker. You can get that off. You look terrible.
For a prostitute in
Aberdeen.
For the tolerant zones.
A shore walker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Walking
the shore.
And is that because it happens to be
our ladies of the Nigeria. Night?
Yeah.
Ladies of the night. That was my two grandchildren sitting in the back of the car, and it was pouring rain. And we were going doing, there's nae hardly any fitty now, nae the top half. And there was two lassies standing there in the pouring rain. And I said to my hubby, what's that two lassies standing out here for? Getting drooked, they're getting soaking. And the little voice for the back pipes up and she says, Granny, do you not know that's ladies of the night? Now, I had never heard that before. Oh, I'd never heard, no, I'd
but
never
it
heard
was just Aye Pros or Shore Walkers, as you said. Because the shore is Aye being infamous in Aberdeen, because it is a shoreline harbour. The merchant men and everybody, mm-hmm. Navy, during the war.
It's a place of employment.
Yes. Job centre.
A centre!
Street workers.
Now let's see. Let's go into the inside and outside. You mentioned a good word there, Billy. You said that she's drookit.
Aye, drookit. Aye, it's soaking.
Drenched. Mm-hmm. What words do we have for raining heavily?
Pouring.
Pouring.
Absolutely pouring.
Rainy cats and dogs.
Chucking it down.
Aye.
Different version of that one.
Pouring this morning, I'll tell you, I got soaked twice.
So, broke
it is a big word. Mm-hmm. That's from, oh God, you're absolutely drunk. And I was drunk this morning. Oh. Mm-hmm.
And what about when it's raining lightly, when it's not
as heavy as
that?
It's just drizzling. Drizzling.
Oh. And sometimes I say it's a Scotch mist. Scotch mist today. You know.
What about smear?
It's not up here.
Smell
is not a word used here.
Not often used here. No. It's mostly just drizzling.
That sounds like a European thing,
actually. Smell. Oh,
smearing. What about the main room of the house with a TV in it?
Well, we tried it with kitchen because we didn't have living rooms when we were little. So your main room was your kitchen, your bedroom because you had a bed recess. So your bed was in the recess. So it was your kitchen because that was where you cooked. It was your bedroom because there was a bed in it. It was a dining room because there was a table and four chairs and that's why. So you did nothing in one room.
I'm afraid I had a couple of posh aunties and it was always a parlour with them and you were only allowed in on a Sunday if you went down on a Sunday.
Died.
If you were dressed, yes.
The only time a parlour...
It was like your Sunday best clothes, you were only allowed them on a Sunday. Mm-hmm. And the parlour was treated like that as well. But that was just by my posh aunties. It was just a kitchen, living room. Yeah. Yes.
Well, my granny had a settee and two chairs and a piano in her parlour.
Well, ours was always just the kitchen. And then there was the bedroom for my sisters. And then there was the room. And the room was kept pristine, clean. There was a piano in it. My sisters played piano. And only visitors could go there. And the only time we were allowed in the room was when there were visitors. You know, otherwise, nobody ever entered that place. So the living room was called the kitchen. And then with two bedrooms. And that was it.
Did you make it in at funerals?
At funerals?
Well, my granny opened the door when there was a funeral. Or if anybody was coming for a wedding.
Well, that was important. You know, a funeral was important and the body stayed in the room. And I can remember the smell of eau de cologne to this day. Eau de cologne means death to me. The smell of eau de cologne. Because they used to sprinkle the body because, oh, God.
Oh. Margaret, what about in your house? What was the main room, the TV, and
what
is it now?
What is it now?
shambled.
No, I am in a wee sheltered house now, and I have a living room and a bedroom, a kitchen and a bathroom. But I didn't always have that. When I was first married, I had three rooms, and one was a kitchen and the other was the bedrooms for myself and one for the family.
So basically, you just had the kitchen where you cooked and sat as well?
Yes, uh-huh. And then the other two rooms were the bedrooms for myself, my husband and the kids.
And what do your family call their room with the TV in it now?
Just the kitchen. You're just in the kitchen.
Because I would tend to think nowadays that the kitchen must be in the place that you just cooked, okay?
Yes, now it is. No. Now it is, because things have got better now than it was before, you know?
Well, when we moved out of a tenement and we had a living room and a kitchen and a bathroom, the kitchen wasn't called a kitchen, it was called a scullery, and the living room was called the kitchen. And to the day my parents died, the living room was always called the kitchen, and the kitchen was called the scullery. And that was it.
But your ma and your da, they slept in the kitchen, the because they were in a bed in the recess, because mainly every house had a recess, had a bed recess. Yeah. And it was a double bed in there, and that's for the head of the families.
As well, my granny had one. When you went in, you sunk about a fit into the feathers. Oh. No, it was lovely.
But you can, when my mother brought up four bairns in one room, and I slept in a big-sized cot till I was nearly nine. And my eldest brother had to move over to my granny's because they all slept in one bed. And we had water in the stairhead. We didn't have water in the house. My mother didn't have a sink inside.
We were half a fortunate. My mother and father got into Glenbervie when it was first built, it'd be early 30s. We were born in here, so I never had the outside toilet. We were really posh at that time. We had an inside toilet bathroom, which was unheard of. A separate kitchen and a separate scullery. But two bedrooms, living room, with nine children.
Aye.
Nowadays, they say, I've got two kids, I need a bigger house. And yet my mother and father brought up nine of us, which was 11 in total, in that two-bedroom house. Bedrooms, but we were still well off because we had an inside bathroom and toilet. It was unheard of in the 30s. That was when Glenbervie was built.
What was Glenbervie?
Glenbervie Road. The granite is Lauriston, Girdleston, Glenbervie. They were the start of the granite tenements that were built in Torrey. And as I say, they were really modern for that day and age in the 30s to hear that equipment. Tiny wee kitchens nowadays, they wouldn't exist now, but they managed. And actually, they died there, and they were both carried out of there.
Do you not think, or do you not feel, that was a time when nobody was close? Because it was our granny. You can. Well, I get to our granny for our Sunday dinner because we couldn't all get round the table.
You get the shifts again.
and you would have had a bath at your granny's because only here in one room, you couldn't have a bath. There wasn't enough room. But your Abdi helped Abdi out, and your granny was your queen bee.
When we used to go to my granny's in Fitty, 14 grandchildren every Sunday without fail, 14 grandchildren in a tiny room, and we all got fed, and we had to wait till my granda tasted whatever we were eating, and he was a stern man. He used to, it's nae bad. It's nae bad, and that meant the broth was good. And the other thing, fish, yellow fish. And I said to my granny, could I hear a fork and knife, granny?
Oh, no.
And granda said, fork and knife? What do you think God give you your fingers for? Eat your fish, loon. And I had to use my fingers to eat my fish.
So you never had forks and knives to eat with?
Very rare. If visitors came again, but if you were just sitting there as a family, and if it was eatable with your fingers, it was your. It was used to be a great big ashet, I maybe say satyrn. That was a great delicacy. A great big tatty ashet, and then a great big ashet of tatties. And he changed just lane to her and took him and eat him, and that was it.
I always use forks and knives.
I must say, but I suppose I was a lot of the times you can, like in the Shetlands, they didn't peel tatties, they scrub them and bile them. So when they're biled, you take off the skin. Well, I think we did that enough, because as you're saying, you got sat herring.
We just do it, I think, skin and everything.
Yeah, aye. So
do
we.
Yeah. I used to have to better with the skin.
Over fingers.
Mm-hmm. My problem is I've got a New Zealander for a wife, and I still tend to boil potatoes with the jackets on.
Aye.
And she peels them so carefully.
So, so do I.
And say, oh, no, I just take that and eat it.
No, my hubby decided, but that was what they did in the Shetlands. Well, they did in Walser. They just peeled off the skin after the tatties were boiled. And my mother-in-law didn't believe in washing fish too much. She says, because you wash the good.
You don't wash fish too much. No. It's a swill. A wee swill. You can't a swill.
And swill.
Swill. Swill. Mm-hmm. Sweet. Just swill a fish, just like that, right through the water, and that's it. And then you might top it dry a wee bitty, and then you cook your fish. Oh, fish is wonderful.
Isn't it? Right. Fine. Running water smaller than a stream, smaller than a river.
A burnie.
Or a burnie.
Burnie.
Well, it's a burn or it's a burnie. If it's a widen, it's a burn. If it's a narrowing, it's a burnie.
Good. Long soft seat in main room.
A couch.
Say a couch.
Couldn't think what that was.
Couch. Try a couch.
Yeah,
I heard you say another word earlier on as well, Billy, when you were speaking about your auntie. What does she have in her parlour?
Oh, she did sateen to our chairs.
Sateen.
Sateen to our chairs. And but that was quite a sweet. And you only had that in the post room, the room for the funerals again. The only time I had the relations and distant teens mate.
We had a couch covered in Rexine, and we were not allowed to sit in it. Only visitors could sit in it.
What's Rexine?
Rexine's an imitation leather.
But it was hard to wear in.
And we were just not allowed to sit in it. You know, no way did you sit in it. Bloody hell, good shit.
Oops. Oh my goodness, was my pet.
I suppose the couch.
Yeah, the coach you have.
What about narrow walkway between or alongside
buildings?
A lane.
Just a lane.
A lane. No,
that's
West Coast again.
A close is different. You see, where I was born, we were doing a close. A close is an archway.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
It's got a roof.
It's got a roof on it.
And I was born doing a close.
Literally. Outside.
Inside, but in my ma's knickers. She refused to take her knickers off.
I can't, there was something wrong with you, Bob.
He was dropped his heat.
My auntie picked me out of my ma's knickers and says, oh, put a shame, he's got to die by drowning. Because I've got a mole on my right thigh, and this is a sign that I'm going to die by drowning. So.
Well, you're by the side of the river.
Bites right on the river.
Never mind, Bob, I come sailing down the day in a dish cloud. So I'll save you. My mother used to, I tell me that if a settler, where was I born? Ah, you come sailing down the day in a dish cloud. So.
The
D's
that
I'm
here.
Oh. And the Tory is saying I was born in 50.
And I live on the riverbank.
Do you? Yes.
South Esplanade West, between Queen Elizabeth Bridge and the Victoria Bridge.
Is that by the boathouses?
Yes, I'm directly across from them.
Oh, okay. So right, let's think. Now, let's go to getting personal. If somebody is Awful we laugh. What would they be?
Oh, and we're rich. And we wheel, we laugh.
Wheel endowed?
No.
With money?
No. No, no. I need something different.
But wheel endowed? No. But you could be wheel endowed with anything. Doesn't need to be your boobs.
You'd be wheel off.
Rich is we laugh, as far as I'm concerned. We laugh.
What about if you lack money, what have you?
Oh, you're poor.
Skint.
Broke.
Never I make the rubber gizzard.
Right. I make means a penny.
A halfpenny.
Aye, I make. Never I make the rubber gizzard. I make was half penny in our days. Halfpenny. Half penny.
No, you see, we I said never twa makes to rub together.
Oh, true. I suppose you need two before you can rub them together.
Aye, I was just a saying. I thought it was maybe different for him.
We just used to say, and I got twa makes.
To rub together.
Well, we never said to rub together, just, and I got twa makes. Twa makes makes one penny. That's it.
Pays well and done, do you
have any thoughts about that?
No, skint is the most used word, I think, but for skint. Oh. I'm skint.
Skint.
Means I haven't got anything. You know, you're poor if you're skint.
What does real endowed mean, Margaret? Tell me.
I'll tell you after.
No, tell me now.
I think it's more a male thing. Eh? I think it's more a male thing, Margaret.
Oh, no. I've got another name for that.
What's that?
No, but when again doing that road. We'll keep to the straight and narrow. I thought you were speaking about boobies here, well endowed.
What about attractive?
Bony
lass.
Bony? Arthur Bony.
Mm-hmm. Is it
Bonnie
or Bony?
Bonnie.
Bonnie.
B-O-N-N-Y.
Bonnie. That's one thing. We didn't put the I-E on. It was just Bonnie. B-O-N-N-Y.
You're
yeah,
a Bonnie one.
Mm-hmm.
Alpha
Bonnie.
Mm-hmm.
Alpha
Bonnie.
We say Bonnie in Shetland as well, but it's different from Bonnie. What do you say?
Bonnie. Bonnie lass.
Mm-hmm. Bonnie queen.
The opposite of that.
Nay, Bonnie. Just nay bony hair.
What a face she is. Yes. It would clip clutes.
Basically,
clip clutes.
Aye, that was possible. But a tongue that would clip clutes.
If you said a face that would clip clutes, I meant it to were. Now, where to get the word? I'm terrible with words. Face that would clip clutes. Scowling.
Oh, he's right, I know.
Sort of scowling.
Scowling.
A face that would clip clutes.
Well, it's got a scowl on it, aye. Aye.
I mean, again, probably coming from our roots back up north, was a face like a bucky drifter.
Aye.
And that was enough, ain't it? And it must have originally come from my mother and father. And
what was that?
A bucky drifter, a fishing boat. Get out to see a small fishing boat, get out to see a bucky drifter.
Was that an insult to look like a fishing boat then?
Have you seen a bucky drifter? Aye, it is.
Okay. What about attractive, unattractive, drunk?
Bluttered.
Blazing.
Blazing.
Bluttered or plutered?
Bluttered.
Funut. Funut.
Funut.
Absolutely funut.
Mm-hmm.
That's... Blazing.
There's a few words. Aye, blazing. Oh, look at him, he's just bloated.
Mm-hmm. And what about pregnant?
Up the spoot.
Mm-hmm. What was that?
Up the spoot.
Expecting. We just, I said, she's expecting.
No, up a spoot and all, Bob. Goodness, I didn't even notice. Up a spoot, I have an all.
A male modernin up the spout, is it?
No.
No.
She's up the spout.
And the other one was, as my ma used to, I used to say, she's own way.
Mm-hmm. What's that?
Own she's one. That way. She's own way.
Preggers.
Mm-hmm. Ma never used the word pregnant or anything. She's own way, you can. why?
What about left-handed?
Curry fisted.
Oh, you're cock-handed.
Cock-handed.
Oh, I was like cock-handed, yes.
Curry fisted. Good. So, you know, up the next one, up what you do. To throw something.
Chuck.
Chuck.
Chuck it about.
Chuck something.
Shy.
Shy.
To shy it.
And I guess that's maybe why it's kind of coconut shy.
Shy. That's
it.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a Tory thing, Bob?
Shy. It's an Aberdeen thing, shy. Yeah. To shy something. It's Aberdeen, it's Tory, it's Fitty, it's Awa.
Or to shy a waffy something is to draw a waffy, isn't mm-hmm. it? No, it's got... That's yeah, a lot of that word's got two words meanings.
It's got lots of different meanings. It depends on the context. All depends on the context.
You can drop a door. You can throw it and you could stort it. Can I stort a bar off the war? Well, you throw a bar at a ball at the ball, but you stort it. Mm. Stort a bar at the bar. Aye, stort a bar at the bar.
I've never heard that one before. What about to play truant?
Skulk to school.
Jinking to school.
Skulking.
Was I jinking?
Jinking.
Aye, jinking to school.
I say jinking as well. Jinking school a day. Drinking.
No, I never heard that one. I would skulk. Skulk. Skulk school.
You didn't skive, man.
No, I didn't do that.
Didn't skive. I didn't skive. I got into the army. Bunch of bloody skivers.
When you were running a waffle with somebody, you jink them out of side. And I think that's for the jinking.
Jinking again. See,
two different entirely. Different things for the same. I was out jinking school with us. And I think it was with the chasing thing when you was jinking about a lot.
Skiving was another thing that we used. You used to skive a school, a skulk.
What about to sleep? Can you just wax with your...
Oh!
It's just rattling a bit with your microphone.
I've got down here, Kip.
That's about it. It's not really a word for sleep, Kip. You're going for a kip, you're going for a...
Snooze, kip.
There's nothing in a Tory though, is there? No, it's nothing.
Nothing.
No. We've got no special word.
Not
for
a
that,
word for that.
Let's see now. To play a game.
I have nothing of value for her, to be honest.
At all.
Because the Northeast folk is our hard working to time to play
games.
Dead right.
I mean, we were kids, we were out for morning tonight, but a snow can, I think, or a world.
Well, you used the word.
You've got names just for games. But you're going to, you just get out to play.
Let's play kick the canny and things like that. But we never had any word for playing.
For play.
Folk in Dundee spoke about kick the can. What was that?
That's kick a canny. Well, you've got a can, you put it on the floor, and you kick it as hard as you can, and then someone's got to go and chase that can. Meanwhile, you all disappear. It's like a hide-and-seek game.
And then they have to find you.
Find you, yeah.
You've got to hear money to come and find you, or a wifey, or a kid.
And he had to put the can back. And when he captured people, they all just stand in a circle. But if you could run in and kick the can again, all the people he'd captured ran off again. So it went on and on and on. You know, kick a canny. Oh, a lovely game.
To hit hard.
Swipe. Well, we did that.
Swipe somebody.
Get somebody right quack.
Back bash.
Oh, and just.
A
bash. That's a lot of words.
For that. You,
we haven't got a special word for it in Tory. There's no special word for that.
A dunt.
To dunt somebody.
Oh, if you give somebody a good dunt.
Oh,
I would think it would have. And when he had dunt and it was there.
No. Dunt is not hard.
No. Dunt means just a gentle dunt. A gentle hit.
So, no.
And, let's see. We'll go on to this last one. How you feel? Pleased?
Chuffed.
Fair chuffed.
That's about it.
Fine. I'm fine.
Great, fine.
I bet we've a lot more words for annoyed.
But before you leave, pleased, rare. R-E-R-R. Oh, I feel rare. Rare.
What's that mean, Bob? How do you use that?
Well,
it's a rare day.
It's a rare day, it's a fine day. That's rare, that tastes good. I'm feeling rare, I'm pleased. You know, it's a word that's used frequently in Tory and Fitty and the whole of Aberdeen. Rare. R-E-R-R, not R-E-R-E. Okay?
What about annoyed?
Fizzing. Really fizzing.
Really angry.
Well, just angry or, as you say, annoyed.
Don't think it's really a Tory word that you could use for that. Annoyed. Just that annoyed. No.
Or even kind of words that you hear for using around the boot here.
No, I just don't know one for annoyed.
No, for that.
Hot.
Hit.
Steaming. Hit. Hit. H-A-E-T. Hit.
I'm hit.
Blazing. Blazing again, as I say it. The way you say it, it's blazing hot. It's blazing hot. Blazing hot.
But hot is the word for hot.
What about cold?
Cold.
It's cold.
Oh, it's awful cold.
And there's no D on that again.
No.
Too cold.
Any kind of fishing words associated with being in the cold?
Well, I just have done call C-E-L-L, because that was about it was pronounced as just cold. 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 Never cold, it was cold. Or freeze
cold.
It.
Cold. Frozen.
It's a cold day.
What about unwell?
Nae wheel. Nae wheel. Nae wheel.
And we're
down
tired, didn't we?
I don't think I got a word for tired. No.
Tired.
Well, we did say knackered. And that was not allowed.
That's a new word. It's never a word we use as kids. It's not an Aberdeen word at all. Of any description.
It doesn't have to be words that you use when you're bairns, but it could be words that you just hear folk use here but nowadays.
No, well,
they use it now.
But it's very modern that. They used to say buggered, you know. I'm buggered.
That's one thing about Fisher people. Quite strict on their language. And I mean,
swear at
all. A tap or a hand, the back of your hand, if you said something like that, that wouldn't have been allowed. It was equivalent to swearing in your family.
I can say that all my childhood, right until I was a teenager, in my granny's house, I never, ever heard a single swear word. Never.
In
my own house, I never heard a single. My father never swore in the house. He used to swear at work. I'd heard him swear at work.
Sure.
But in the house, no one swore. Nowadays, I hear you. Mums swearing in front of their kids, and I just don't understand it.
The kids swearing back at them as well. No, that was it. I mean, my father was a fisherman. He took a good bucket. There's no denying, and I never, ever once heard an oath come out of his mouth.
No.
I never did. It was just a definite no-no. No.
What does it mean, he took a good bucket?
He took a good drink. Fishermen did, I think, in that days. I mean, you say they took a good drink, but I mean, the amount, maybe about a month, you come in, you'd land your own fishing that day and age, then maybe a settling day, a clear day, about again for another month. So actually, it was a combination of a lack of sleep. I'm not saying they didn't take drink, drink did, but the drink seemed to take a hand. So I think every fisherman used to come rolling here. But I still never ever heard an oath come out my father's mouth.
In Market Street in Aberdeen, you'd see all hell breaking loose. Two guys, three guys, four guys fighting. And you're saying, ooh. And then you'd say, oh, it's Trallerman, it's okay. Because they only had the two nights. Then they'd go to sea again for 18 days or 30 days. So they were always forgiven. Trallermen were allowed to come in, take a bucket fee, and do their thing, and that was them. And off they went. And they were always forgiven. They were ours. They were our Trallermen. They They made the city of Aberdeen.
Tell me about how languages, are there words that you hold dear in the fishing community, or other things that are meaningful for you in terms of language?
Well, but speaking about Jimmy's, I being cried your shoes that you went to school with for PE. Now, I can remember from my mother and father calling him coaties. I didn't care for coaties whiz until I was a bit older. But that was their language, they were cried coaties. I don't know how. Again, it's a North thing. But it was definitely coaties because there was a lot of North fishers in that part of Torrey down Victoria Road up in North. The come from North. And coaties was quite a common thing, but it just drifted out. And the Jimmies come in. It was Jimmies when I was being brought up, but I can still remember the coaties. So it definitely must have been a North thing.
But what I remember most is how Aberdonians, and Tory in particular, mispronounced words like committee was the committee. And the library was a library. You know, they deliberately mispronounced. They knew exactly what how to say it, but it's always the committee.
And what about the way you were brought up to feel about your own language and dialect? Were you ever made self-conscious about it?
No. I actually object because I know one of my grandchildren was told to speak proper English, and I was furious. And I can find our teacher comfy or forever. Yeah. I've heard some English dialects and I find them very difficult. I suppose they would think we were very difficult to understand. But for a teacher in a Tory school to tell a pupil to speak proper English is not one.
But if you ging for a job, now Sheila, if you had been interviewed for a job, that's what they expect you to do. You get it, especially an office job, because they expect you to answer phones and you have to answer the phones properly, proper English. But my grandson, now his father is English. Now, when he was six or seven, he was knocked down in Girdleness Road and he had to lie on his back for 6 weeks in the hospital. And when he come home to me and I was looking for books, getting little bookies to give him to read. And I gave him a Bruins book. And about 10 minutes later, he says, Granny, I can't read that book, he said, because it's in French. You see? So, I mean, now we had a niece doing for the Shetlands and she was in the hospital, Michelle. And the little boy next to her, Comfy Turriff, well, they've got a totally different way of speaking. And she thought he was French. I said to her, do you speak to the little boy in the next bed? She said, no, because he's foreign. And I says, she says, yes, he only speaks French. They was for Turriff.
Yeah. So, see, the Scottish language is much more connected to the French, the Gaelic and the French.
It is actually more attached to German. I mean, our numbering, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, echt, you know, it's more German than anything. But the thing about Aberdeen Doric is that people south of Stonehaven, which is only 14 miles away, couldn't understand a single word that we said. They just could not understand us at all. And we thought, are you stupid? Ken, see how they fields do near. They didn't ken anything. They didn't ken anything. But they didn't understand us. Glaswegians used to come up here for the fair fortnight, and they never understood a word we said to them. Quite incredible. Yeah.
Give me a blast of good Doric. Have a conversation to you. Unbridled,
that you would do if I was in here. Sheila and Billy. Did I tell you we're going to get all this money for a park? And it is now signed and sealed. Our park has got to get up and going in January, and it's got to be all ready for the end of April in total. Everything's in place for it.
Oh, well, that's good, Sheila. You fought hard for it, so it's deserved. And I hope the kids really appreciate all the work that's been done.
That hopefully would happen because it is for the use, but absolutely brilliant. It was just a comedy.
Aye. Yeah. Fine. After all the time it's been.
But you can us, I'm still getting folk coming to me and saying, it'll never happen, you kid. It's nae going to happen. Mm-hmm. And I say, look, what do you do on a Thursday night? What do you mean, what do I do on a Thursday night? I said, every third Thursday of the month, we hear a council meeting. So why can you not come to it and just listen to what we're saying and your bit in it?
I'm just noticing twatchy. That was good, Blast, thank you. I'm noticing twatchy words that were missed off. Toilet, what's for the...
Lavi.
Anything else?
Hello, or a lavi, or a cluggy.
It always a lavi.
Cluggy is an interesting one.
Mm-hmm. Well, we used to say the cluggy. Doon and Fitty, cried at the outside clug. And of course, we add the E, the cluggy.
Yeah, the cluggy again. I say with the lavi.
Mm-hmm. Are the watery?
Watery.
Ah,
the watery. Aye, my granny used to say, why you go doing the watery?
Aye.
I'm standing going, hey, you loony, why doing the watery?
Watery.
You know, that was it.
What about insane?
Daft.
Nuts.
Nuts.
Feel.
Feel.
F-E-E-L.
Daft.
Feel means daft.
You're a feel.
Hey, how are you? Feel. It's just a word we've always used. He's a feel.
And annoyed?
We didn't get that one.
I'm fizzing doing for that, and I'm fizzing.
Well, I just say I'm angry. If it's annoyed. I'm really angered.
Angered. Aye. But I haven't heard that used in a long time.
Angered. For angered.
Mm. And moody? You're a bad mood.
I ain't never one for that at all.
Moody. I couldn't find a word for that either.
Mm. Yeah. Or look at her face.
A gurney face.
Look at his face. What a gurney.
Gurney face. Dorn
smock. Riven smock.
Mm. No. Mm. It's a gurney soda.
Aye. Mm. Aye, Gernan.
But Gernie's not moody, you see. Gernie's complaining. Gernie is complaining and moaning. Moody, I just don't have a word for
Anything else you're desperate to say? Good praises or words or anything you'd like to share with the rest of Britain and finish it off?
Just remember what my granny, my mama used to say. If I were going to see we a money, it can a row.
Brilliant. Can I just keep going once more and tell me why you are, how long you've been here? And why
are
you feeling? How long have you been there?
Sheila, born and bred Tory, have never been out of Tory, and I'm still here after 60 odd years.
Billy, born in Fitty, moved to Tory at age 9, still here at 74.
Margaret, born and bred in Tory, never been out of Tory, I've been in Tory for 81 years.
Bob, an Aberdonian, brought up my kids in Tory, and I've come back to Tory to live for the past 20 years.
Brilliant. Thank you so much.